Hello and welcome to your weekly dose of the latest sustainability news, brought to you by the Green Elephant. This week, the UN is told by an 18-year-old she wants to turn apathetic people into climate activists. A report calls for the banning of ads for large polluting cars. Europe leads North America in implementing sustainability measures. And can a cup of coffee change the world? Joining me to discuss these and more, as usual, is Russell. Morning, Russell.
That mention of coffee has now got me desiring my next cuppa. Morning, Mike.
Actually, now you've said that, I quite fancy them as well.
yeah.
But we'll also be talking about BMW, BASF, Citigroup, Microsoft, again, mammals, satellites, forest fires, policy bamboo, and blue lobsters. So to begin with, an 18-year-old environmental campaigner from the United States has told UN News how she wants to turn apathetic people into climate activists. Sophia Kiana, whose family originally comes from Iran, is one of seven young people from across the world who have been selected to participate in the UN Secretary General's Youth Advisory Group on Climate Change. The group, which was launched at the end of July, aims to engage young people in an open and transparent dialogue about climate issues. And I think, Russell, the first thing to say is that the group has launched to engage young people in an open and transparent dialogue. But it seems to me from what yeah. the story says and what Kiana says that engaging the young people isn't the issue.
It's... No, not so much. Apparently us oldsters are a bit rubbish at it, and the youngsters got this nailed. But
absolutely.
I think all said and done that it's the youngsters got to grow into this world. We've kind of used it and are in the process of spitting it out by the looks of it. Mm. I mean, obviously we're very conscious ourselves. About the situation, but there are many that don't understand the problem. And the young are you know, it is great to see young people doing things in this kind of way to get involved in the bigger planetary deals of the day. The only thing that probably troubles me is they're going to come up against some hard grizzled scientists and opinionists and activists who are anti-climate change, and these kids need these people kids probably uncle young people
yeah,
need to
yeah,
be
people.
Very well equipped to be able to beat the arguments or at least contest the arguments these people have.
Yeah, I mean, it's great they've got the backing of the UN Secretary General, and that gives them a bit more weight, but they're not without the challenge. And I mean it is the young people's challenge. I mean, I heard I watched something with Simon Sinek, the Start With Why guy.
Yep.
Yesterday, he was talking about climate change and the planet and things. And he was saying, well, the planet is fine. The planet will still be here. It might be changed, but the planet is not going anywhere. We don't have a planet crisis. What we have is a survivability of the human race crisis. And it's whether the planet or whether, you know, our grandchildren, our grandchildren's grandchildren, will be able to live on the planet that is there for them.
We've seen there have been climate changes all the way through time, and lots of scientific evidence to support that. But this is really the first major rise in temperatures whilst man's been on Earth. To give you a kind of an idea of the scale, and that's some of the arguments that are going on. We may or may not be able to survive this climate change. I think if nothing else, if the climate changes, something has to be changed somewhere else. It will force a change somewhere else. So it'll be interesting to have these younger people out there doing what they can, especially the article in question talked about translating in information type of information into the languages that it needed. At the moment, it's probably a proliferation of stuff in English, but not so much in Farsi, by the looks of it.
Language.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the other interesting thing was, you know, she's got the message out to millions of people via social media and radio and things like that. But it says that everybody has a power to affect change in their own way. And the other thing I liked was small actions are the gateway for gigantic visions. And I think that's, you know, something we come back to is, you know, everybody little can steps. Do something, small steps to make all the difference.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If everyone does something small, then it'll make a big difference.
So let's take a look at some other big sustainability news stories from this week. So in company news, the BMW Group looks to reduce CO2 for the full vehicle life cycle. And I think we like this story because it was not just BMW and it wasn't just focused on themselves.
Yeah, I think it's very easy to look at the end product and say, is that end product going to run green? And so the production of a battery, a powered car, electric car, or a hydrogen cell or whatever is great and it might run efficiently, but what did it take to get it there? And how can IBM prove that the nuts were created in the most sustainable manner possible? And that's an interesting approach.
Or even BMW, not IBM. That's another story. But yeah, BMW. I mean, I think it was looking at the whole supply chain. It was looking at sourcing 100% green energy, lowering more efficient production, offsetting, using recycled materials in vehicles. I think all that stuff sounded really good. The one for me that really stood out as being the real changer here, and if all organisations did this, it would be a change, is that the board and executive management compensation is going to be tied to progress made against the sustainability targets. So that's something new. If you say to the board, you have to hit this target or your compensation changes, there's a much better chance they're going to do it.
That'll focus their mind on their new yacht, won't it?
Yeah, yep, great. Chemical company BASF releases emissions data for 45,000 products. Now, this was another one I was very impressed with. And it wasn't just they released this emissions data now. BASF have been doing this for years, since 2007. So I think we should applaud them for their efforts in producing carbon footprint data for their products. So
absolutely. I mean, nobody could have done 45,000 overnight, that's for sure. I mean, and to give some context, BASF is a ginormous company based out of Germany, but it's one of the biggest chemical companies, companies. Yeah. So and of course chemicals is an area which has its own environmental issue, so
absolutely
they'll be interesting to see where that how they develop their bigger environmental issue, not just the carbon.
Yep, indeed. Citigroup and Bank of America join Morgan Stanley in commitment to disclose emissions from loans and investments. So that is a really interesting movement, and I guess it ties into some of the other green banking initiatives that we've seen that say, you know, we're only going to look at companies and organizations that are committed to sustainability and carbon reduction. And I guess, you know, that is going to encourage those organizations that are looking for banking and investment to, you know, do more of the right things. And again, back to what we talked about with BMW, if things hit people in their pocket and in the money, they're likely to start doing these things.
Yeah, I mean, it could be somewhere where the government could help out as well by giving banking some form of break if they can prove that their investments are green, you know, fall down the green route. There's any number of places that could go, isn't it?
And I think the other interesting thing reading the story was that according to the report, they've ranked companies who are not doing the right things in terms of sustainability goals and strategy and planning, and things like PepsiCo and Kraft Heinz and Mondelez, you know, big organizations that really aren't doing what they need to do. So, you know, why would you invest or spend your money on a tin of Heinz beans if they're not doing the right things for the planet? So interesting.
It has to has to be a cascade effect here, doesn't it, in all that happens now on.
Absolutely. So our friends Microsoft, they are aiming for their operations to be zero waste by 2030. And interesting fact here, we love those, even though it's not the standard show, it's the news show, but people tossed out a record of 53.6 million metric tons of e-waste in 2019. It's just huge.
It's unfathomable. I mean, the story, obviously, they put that as a headline in the story, but Microsoft's largest office complex is sent something like 3.2 metric tons of waste to landfill. Now, that's not e-waste. That's what the article is focusing on is them trying not to fill landfill from their office space. But this spin-off that a lot of, and they do produce a lot of electronic stuff, most of it, a lot of it's done by IT manufacturers that use Windows OS. But the fact that these devices are created and there is nothing, when they get to the end of their life, there's nothing to be done with them but to throw them in the bin is hideous. I mean, these things last 3 to 5 years if you're lucky. And then they end up, and I think you came up with, you said to me earlier that there was, how much gold?
I think 7% of the world's gold is contained sitting in electronic waste.
You imagine you go down to the dump and you say, I've hit a rich vein of Microsoft here.
Be nice, wouldn't it? In other sustainability news, European Sentinel satellites are to map global CO2 emissions. So there's been a contract awarded to a German manufacturer to begin construction of a satellite network to monitor carbon dioxide. And I think I like this story because it is kind of one step removed from organizations and governments reporting their CO2. It's looking at it from, you know, up above, really, to say, well, we don't know who emitted this, but it's here. And here's the reality.
It's a more global approach to CO2. And we use the phrase emissions or slip it in, but it is just how much CO2 is there in the atmosphere, where it came from, weather systems, you know, just the world's an ever moving beast. So you're never going to know truly where a particle of CO2 came from. But you do need to know where it might be sitting, where it might be doing, and its quantities. And again, if you can measure it, then you might be able to manage it.
Yeah, absolutely. In the Amazon region, Brazil has recorded a big increase in fires.
Yeah.
Fires in tropical wetlands have tripled in 2020. So it's an ongoing concern that those fires continue.
And you got to ask why. I mean, the government that says don't set fire to anywhere in the Amazon because you might start stuff like this. So the governments are starting to take action, but it's what we had in Australia last year, 3 million animals were affected by that. It was the number that was bandied around. Don't quote me on it, but these fires in one place after another, which are just devastating long-standing forest lands, which you could never recover, no matter what planting scheme you put in place, you're never going to recover a tropical wet forest.
Well, not for hundreds or potentially thousands of years.
That's right. And not in its diversity.
No, absolutely. Another kind of Planet Wildlife story. One quarter of UK mammals face the threat of extinction, and I guess this won't be too similar in other countries in the world. The habitat loss, I mean, we look around us on a daily basis and the habitat doesn't seem to change, but clearly it is. Invasive species, we have grey squirrels who've all but killed our red ones. Mink escaped from fur farms have eaten all the water voles. I'm not sure there's much that, you know, as individuals we can do except to raise awareness that this is happening and to call on those in charge to try and do something about it.
I mean, there's been that breed of hornet that came, is potentially to come over from Europe, that devastates bees. They just basically kidnap bees on the way out of the hive and kill them, and then take over the hive. I must admit, and it wasn't mentioned in the story that we've got here, but it was it was talking about, I lost my point of thought now. Nope, it's gone. Forget it. Forget me.
It's obviously vital, but
it was a really good issue.
yeah. As they all are that we discuss on this show.
Hey, this is how ad hoc it is.
Finally on the quick news. And this is a kind of a good news story. This is how a man from Assam innovated bamboo water bottles and canisters. Now, I think this story just goes to show that whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever resources you have to hand, you can do something. So a guy called Dhriti Mambora from India, I think, he started his company called DB Industries, and he's making bamboo bottles. Now, each of these bamboo bottles takes him 5 hours to make. So this isn't a quick thing, and it's not an easy thing for him to do. But, you know, all credit to him. He's making these bottles. He's now shipping them to Australia, Canada, UK, Saudi Arabia. So, you know, as well as removing plastic and providing alternative water bottles, he's growing himself a business. So just wanted to give out a mention as a, you know, everybody can do something, no matter how small.
And you know, when they're in those type of regions, they can make a significant difference to us and people that are hunting for solutions. They can find something that's very sustainable. Okay, it's got to be shipped, but it will, it's the most sustained bamboo, it's the most sustainable wood-based product in the world, really.
And now on to my favourite word of the week, badvertising. A new campaign called Badvertising is demanding an immediate end to adverts for large polluting cars. It says the government should clamp down on sports utility vehicles, SUVs, car adverts, in the way that it curbed smoking adverts. Clearly, there's always two sides to the story. An industry spokesperson said that SUVs are the cleanest in history. Well, the cleanest in history doesn't necessarily mean they're clean, does it?
Not really, no.
So,
bearing in mind the early SUVs were basically used by farmers to run around their their large farmland so that they can pick up sheep and throw them in the back. I mean, that's where it's all come from, is the ute. Isn't it?
It is. But I think it's interesting. It's focused on the SUV. 4 in 10 new cars sold in the UK are SUVs. I didn't realise that they were as ubiquitous as that.
But, I think we're living down in the southwest, as we fortunately do, of England. If you had an SUV down here, you'd probably take off both wing mirrors within a month.
You're without country lanes, probably don't lend it.
And you know, driving up to my house, you'd struggle to get an SUV. I'd have to make a buying decision on getting into my driveway, you know. But you know, you do watch these tourists come down, they drive down their SUVs and then look at you mystically because you've got to reverse down a country lane. And so perhaps we're not exposed to it, but you do see these ridiculous shots, queues outside schools and such, of a parent dropping off one child out of this monster of a car, which has never seen this one side of a field.
tires, you know, in any mode. Yeah, I think, you know, the report is saying that we need to decarbonize. We need to reduce our emissions, and one of the major ways we need to do that is to reduce emissions from the cars that are the most polluting. And I like this quote that said, there's adverts and then there's badverts. Promoting the biggest, worst emitting SUVs is like upselling pollution, and we need to stop. And we agree with that.
I think so, yeah.
So according to a new report from EcoVadis, Europe leads North America when it comes to implementing sustainability and CO2 reduction measures.
Yay.
The report analysed the sustainability performance of more than 40,000 companies across the globe from 2015 to 2019. And a couple of highlights. North American companies lead in reporting on CO2 emissions, but Europe leads in implementing action. And another finding was that sustainable procurement continues to lag. I thought the first thing was that given that it was a report of 40,000 companies, that is a sizable sample, and therefore we should take the findings with the credit they deserve, really.
Yeah, agreed. And I suppose, I mean, it's been put in a positive situation. It's positive on both sides, really. North American perhaps know better what they need to do to improve, maybe. Whether they'll be encouraged to, especially after around this crisis as well, people, and it goes to the procurement piece, is people are not going to be focusing on sustainability first. They're going to be looking at survivability, especially when it comes to a business. It's, can I survive if I buy the sustainable product? Or can I buy this really cheap one that's going to be is a less sustainable source, but it's really cheap? And that's going to be quite a difficult balance in this difficult economic times. But it's good that Europe are taking action.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing I took from it was, you know, we see on a weekly basis, and we bring them on this news podcast on a weekly basis, the stories from companies about what they're doing to reduce emissions, how they're going to meet 2030 targets, how they're going to go zero carbon, how Microsoft's going to go zero waste, and all these things. So they're great at reporting and perhaps marketing these messages. Time will tell whether that is real or whether it's so-called greenwashing. It's encouraging to see that Europe seem to be actually doing things about it. And there was a story in out of France this week that said they were considering making kind of pollution and carbon emission illegal in France, and bringing in a new law about ecocide. Not announced or official, so we'll be looking at that and reporting in the future, but that would certainly bring a different spin on this.
Okay, ecocide as in patricide or pesticide? kind of lost the note.
Well, they're calling it ecocide, crimes against the
against the ecology. I like it. Again, I still think it's worth acknowledging that North America are beating Europe in measuring CO2. So this is probably one of the worst polluting countries in the world, acknowledging China's probably the leader in that game, who are really good at it. They're aware of it. And we're fixing what exactly? Yeah. So in Europe, what have we done anything? I don't know. We're not measuring it. Okay, great. Woo! Yeah. At least we're doing something. So I don't know. I'm not sure on that one.
So coming back to our coffee musings at the start of this podcast.
And I want one even more now.
I know. According to the International Coffee Organization, around 1.4 billion cups of coffee are enjoyed every day around the world. That's certainly a lot of coffee. And whilst many people love the taste and even struggle to start their day without a warm cuppa, not many stop to think where their coffee has been sourced from and how sustainable these supply chains are. Mm. A team at coffee brand Kua is focused on improving the well-being for all those who touch their coffee, including the growers, the drinkers and their team, promoting circular economy for all material inputs and resources, starting with their coffee and packaging. And I think this is really interesting because a lot of coffee brands are saying that they're sustainable. They're talking about shade grown coffee and, using sustainable production methods and things like that. But I think this brand, Kua, they're taking it a stage further. They're saying that everybody, every organization, every stage that touches their coffee, they're looking at the well-being of that. And that's, we've touched on supply chain and procurement and things a lot of times today and in previous weeks, and that is a major failing in a lot of the stories we're looking at. But this seems to be bucking that trend to say everybody that touches it. You know, they're establishing education programs for the people in Uganda that help pick and produce the coffee. They are making sure that the waste and the grounds and things are reused. They're looking to reduce carbon at all stages. So, you know, it's a much more holistic view than we're seeing from other stories.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say it is. It's a very positive. It's the kind of story you'd like to have every company reporting. Yes. Really, that we're looking at our whole supply chain, and we're looking to do good throughout the whole supply chain, whilst accepting the fact that we are, there is a potential to add waste, but perhaps working out how to deal with that waste in a far more environmental way. And then, of course, as you mentioned, they've got this access to cents for seeds. So they give them a loan of 30 kilograms of seeds, yeah, and beans and sesame, and then they can kind of repay that loan. Brilliant! Exactly the kind of thing that would help people either be self-sustaining or grow a business of their own. And if every company worked in that way, it would be a better world. Anyway,
it would be indeed. And finally, before we go, rare blue lobster turns up in a Red Lobster shipment. Restaurant staff marveled at the unusual sea creature. At first, it looked like it was fake. Scientists estimate that a genetic anomaly makes only about 1 in 2 million American lobsters blue. Restaurant workers immediately isolated the lobster, nicknamed him Claude, to keep it safe. We kept it in the tank and just made sure that nobody took him out in the back for dinner. And Russell, I've got a little challenge for you. To say red lobster, blue lobster, quickly.
Red lobster, blue lobster, red lobster, blue lobster, red lobster, blue lobster, red lobster. There I think go. I could see where I could go with that one. Yeah.
There's a tongue twister for you. So you can find links to all the stories we've discussed on our show page at greenelephant.show. If you've got any other stories you think we should be discussing or comments you want to share, then you can find us across social on Green Elipod. You can email us at studio@greenelephantshow. But until next week, thanks for listening, and we hope you have a sustainable week. Bye.
Goodbye.